Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
And welcome. This is the World of Boating. Gregor, first mate, Captain Patrick, Bill the engineer. Captain Barry is with us, all, and Rusty. So we got a five-man crew once again, back-to-back. I don't know how this happened.
I have a theory.
You have a theory?
I have a magic theory.
Of course it's magic. That's the theory. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting theory.
Yes, it
Bill.
Is. I actually think that it's because of Hurricane Irma.
Yeah, brought us together.
None of us have been able to leave this studio.
True. It was either that or just sit out on the lawn.
We have been hunkered down in this building for 10 days now.
And no one showered.
If we don't...
Only one of us is making it out, Greg. Only one of us.
We're running out of food.
You got a bad ticker. I don't think it's going to be you.
Well, who's the first one we're going to eat to survive?
Well,
the cat.
I've got two theories on this.
Yeah.
Number one, clearly, you're both looking at me because... I have the extra weight, and the marbling is going to be delicious. But
juicy.
Here's the thing. Patrick already has a skewer built in for the fire.
Ah, good point. That titanium rod in his leg.
Just put that right over the pit.
We're good to go.
You should probably try and take him out right now, Greg.
Yeah, why don't you try that, Greg?
Okay. Now that we determined, if we are lost at sea, that Patrick would be the first person we'd eat to survive... Let's move
on. I'm going to let him keep going on that theory.
Yeah.
Because then I'm not the first one eating.
Yeah, I lost my appetite. But anyway, we got some stuff to navigate through today, as well as picking up a few limbs and things like that. We'll see how that unfolds.
I think we have to start with something which happened because of Irma.
Yeah.
And that was not knowing where the storm was going to go. Tampa did what was probably the smart thing. Maybe an overabundance of caution.
They left the state. They have relocated to Minnesota. Tampa Bay, Minnesota, everybody.
The Progressive Tampa Boat Show was postponed from last weekend to October 13th.
Yeah, so that's
a new thing now.
That's like a week before Fort Lauderdale Boat Show, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
So that's going to keep some folks pretty busy, including Boat Show Girl was supposed to be there, so we haven't talked to her.
Well, will it keep them busy, or will it draw down attendance at Lauderdale?
Well, I don't know if it's going to draw down attendance.
Or will it draw down attendance, what they would normally see at Tampa?
You got to figure that Tampa's not going to be as well attended in light of the fact that they had to make a change. But they had to make a change. I mean, they did. Because the week going into this, they didn't know what was going to happen, and there was a lot of speculation. There was a lot. Now,
I disagree.
Come to find out, Patrick knew. And if they'd have just looked at Patrick's post, Patrick told us.
Now, here's the thing. I think it is the best time to hold a boat show. Because here's the reason why.
No place
First
to go.
First of all, the people who show up, they're buying a damn boat. Okay?
When they get the insurance check for the old one.
That's right. They made their way to the show. They are. It's like people who braved the New York Boat Show going through 4 feet of snow. They made their way to the boat show. They're buying a boat, damn it.
Hmm.
Two, it gives you a perfect opportunity to show how well the boat will weather a hurricane.
There it is.
Step on. Hey, this boat's got a Seakeeper stabilizer. You'd never know that it was blowing 110 miles an hour outside, would you?
Huh. Okay, well, there's that.
That's a very good point.
Look at these excellent dock lines you get with this boat.
So attendance would have been way down, but sales may have gone up.
There you go.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
The people that were there, and everybody would have gotten a lot of attention.
And just think about the scratch and dent sale you can have afterwards.
How long is the Tampa show? Is it a 3-day show?
3 days too long.
Yeah.
3 days too long.
I honestly, you really think it'll affect the attendance at Fort Lauderdale or vice versa? I don't think it'll affect either
one. I do. Cause
I think it'll affect Tampa.
There's only so much boat show that even the most hardiest boat show goer can put up with.
But wait a minute. The Tampa boat show doesn't necessarily pull as nearly as much as Fort Lauderdale from other parts outside of their local vicinity. So the people in Tampa,
disagree because especially when it comes down to demoing boats, I would much rather demo a boat on the Gulf than of Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, but that may be correct for an exhibitor, but you think people are coming over from like Miami over to Tampa to do that?
Well,
no.
Probably not coming from Miami, but Port St. Lucie?
I have a question.
Okay. What do you think, Barry?
Port Charlotte?
No, a question for Patrick.
Someone with an answer.
Yeah. Is the Tampa show about the same as the Palm Beach show in size?
A little bigger.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. So it's just a weekend show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a little more well-known. I mean, the Palm Beach show is a little more...
Palm Beach show is more... Yeah, it's more uppity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more Greg-like.
Well, you got a lot more of the yacht owners in Palm Beach. It's bigger boats.
It's a very Greg-like crowd. By that, I mean, it's very,
upscale,
it's pale
proper.
White. Very white.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't nothing like the Sanford Boat Show. Did you come out to Lake Monroe for
at the
our
Holiday
boat show?
Inn?
Holiday Inn.
We
right
got
there.
Airboats and John boats and those canoes.
I tell you what. You get to see how versatile them boats are when you have to go around them big gators.
This boat comes not with just one oar. It comes with two.
We will find
a
out.
A pair.
If
they're like twins.
The Tampa show versus Fort Lauderdale are affected in any way. Because Boat Show Girl is planning to do both of those shows. So she can give us her perspective. She's
going to be happy with the Tampa show because of how wide the aisles are going to be. Because they will be wider and less populated.
I don't think that's true. I think we'll have to wait and see. Because what I'll tell you is that I believe it will be tougher on the exhibitors. They're not going to like going from Tampa straight over to Fort Lauderdale. I mean, back-to-back shows like that is a killer.
It'll be a Chinese fire drill.
But for the attendees, the people that go to the show, I think Barry said, there might be some people that have gotten insurance checks and ready to cash in and buy a new boat upgrade or whatever. It might be a very successful show. We'll have to wait and see. Time will tell.
Yeah, because the insurance companies after a hurricane, they're all about giving out money.
It's got to be fast. Got to be quick.
Well, if they got it insured, they'll get it.
Well, thank you very much for calling here at Progressive Boat Insurance. We are very progressive. We're not progressive. We're not with Flo. We're completely different, but very progressive boat insurance company. You know how progressive we are? There's going to be a lot of progress in between now and when you get a check.
So, sir, when do I get my check?
I'm sorry. What's your name again?
Bill.
Bill?
Well, so much for
that. I don't seem to see this file here, Bill.
So much for the progressive boat show people sponsoring the World of Boating radio show. Jeez. Yeah.
I have talked about how nice and wide those aisles are going to be.
My prediction is it won't affect things at all. I mean, if anything, it could be an economic boom. We'll see.
I think I know why you vote Republican.
Just saying. That's my prediction. I could be wrong. Hey, look, I could be wrong, but that's my prediction. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
All right. You know, the time will tell. Let time be the judge.
No matter what it turns out to be, he's going to say he was right.
Well, of course.
He is.
Yeah. I'm right.
Remember
even
last week he said he drove a boat, for God's sakes.
I'm right even when I'm wrong. Come on. You guys know this.
And it's really your only chance to be right.
And if I agreed with you, we'd both be wrong. So, you know, I
see where you're trying to offer a difference of opinion. It makes for radio more exciting when not everyone's on the same page.
Okay.
I get that.
But with you, it's just frustrating.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. It's just what I do. All right. Well, so do we have some other stories we should navigate? We got the hurricane thing to deal with. That's going to be an ongoing thing.
Well, you know, there are going to be more storms. More storms are coming.
Yeah.
So we do want to talk a little bit, I think, about the sort of things which go into prepping a boat for a storm.
Well, I did have a question, though, for Rusty. Mm-hmm. So, Rusty, now that Irma has passed, how did you make out?
We did fine. You know, we did well.
I mean, you're in a good spot. I mean,
we are. We're not. We're a little better than the hurricane hole that you talked about last week on Facebook. But you know, it didn't look like that. But you know, one of the things we found is we were thinking about buying a marina, one of the two right there beside of us. And so we've been in negotiations with pricing, and we decided
to
hold off.
Did the price just get better?
Yeah, we decided to hold off and see how it fares.
Land's already been cleared.
might be a lot better deal now. So, you know, that's one of the things. But and we only have one houseboat left, so it survived.
Okay.
And hopefully it's supposed to go this week, and somebody's going to buy it. So then the houseboats will be gone. So.
And he's out of the houseboat business, baby.
It's going to be a good day. Going to be a good day.
We'll come up for the party.
Yeah. Best 2 days of boat ownership is what day you buy it and the day you sell it, right?
I thought it was the day we let you drive it.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Hey, boaters, you know there's a lot of things to consider when you're out on the water. But what about when you want to jump in it? Well, like for a snorkel or even a dive. That's just one reason why you, as a boater, should be a member of Divers Alert Network. DAN is your dive safety organization. However, many of the benefits you get from being a DAN member go far beyond in-water activities. Just by being a member of DAN, you get access to 24-hour DAN Travel Assist. This program provides evacuation assistant coverage up to $100,000 when you travel over 50 miles from home for both diving and non-diving injuries. When you consider it's just $35 for individuals and $55 for entire families, it's kind of silly not to be a member of DAN if you like spending time out on the water. There's many more benefits, way too numerous to list here. So go to dan.org and get all the info. Whether you're into diving or not, see for yourself why it makes total sense for every boater to be a member of Divers Alert Network. That's dan.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw, put a brain fork in him. He's done.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Look, here comes a boat.
Really? Oh, it's about time.
On this boat, we'll sail away tonight. And on this boat, confess that you were right. Sometimes I hate the world and them and all. Can you please take me away before I break?
Oh, Kevin, we're saved.
Come sail away with me. Come sail away. Come sail away.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, Captain Rusty, and Barry. Billy Engineer was here, but I asked him to leave after that last smart-ass comment, so I kicked him out. I kicked him off our virtual cruise there, Patrick. I pulled rank and said, hey, that's enough out of you, young man.
Again, he volunteered.
Okay, he may have just left on his own accord. I don't know, but you can take whichever story you want to go with and know that he left. That's all that matters. But we'll continue on. We will, power through without an engineer. We don't need it.
Do we? We really?
No, we're good. We're
yeah,
good.
Stuff
we got,
breaks.
We got this. We got this.
Yeah, you know, Barry's very, you know, he has a lot of skills to fix things on the fly. He knows how to rig things up to make them work. So we'll throw him into that position if necessary. All right, so as we navigate the latest boating news and information, there is some other things we have learned from all the preparation for Hurricane Irma that maybe we could pass along that anybody can benefit from, whether they're in a hurricane cone zone or not. You think, Patrick?
Well, there is. I mean, when it comes to preparing your boat, there are several things you have to look at. Again, kind of by the time the storm is on a certain path and the warnings are up, and if you have a boat that is of such a size that you're looking at getting it out and putting it, as they call, on the hard or put into dry storage, it's probably going to be a little too late. You're going to find that people have jumped the gun way ahead of you. So you really can't react too early at times when it's hurricane season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if your boat is of a size and it's staying in the water, you have some decisions to make. First is, make sure that your boat is insured, because the time to find out that you don't have any insurance isn't when the hurricane is coming, because as soon as they put those notices up, guess what? Insurance companies stop offering policies.
Right. They're so done. You got to have that all in advance.
You got to have that all done ahead of time.
But if you didn't do that,
then you're kind of on your own.
You got to figure out a way to protect your vessel.
Well,
as best you
no
know
matter
how.
What, you're even with the insurance companies, you have to make every reasonable attempt to protect your vessel, just like you would make every attempt to protect your home. In those types of situations. So if the boat's in the water, and having been through this actually here in Central Florida and out on the coast, when your boat's in, you have to look at the slip that you're in. You need to get the boat moved into the center of the slip so that you're not up against any pilings. Double, triple the lines. Make sure you have enough fender protection out and around it. Make sure that you've got, you've got shore power, that you've got a shore power source. Plan on that shore power source being cut out, losing power. Make sure that your batteries are fully charged. Make sure that your automatic float switch, your high water alarm, and your bilge pumps are working correctly. The time to find out that they're not working is in the middle of a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
Your bilge pumps are only going to keep up if you're taking on water, and this would be a tremendous amount of whether it's rainwater or the boat's taking on water due to the wave action. It's only going to be able to maintain the pumps as long as you've got power to the batteries. If you lose battery charge or shore power, then you're strictly down to your battery power, and once that's depleted, you got nothing.
Right. Rusty, did you have to do all that stuff for your boats at Jacksonville Marine, or were they in the showroom and you didn't have any issues?
No. We got some in the water. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to stay there. We definitely do all that. Plus, we take the biminis down, you know, the houseboats, any chairs, any furniture's on it, we get rid of that. Any cushions that are floating out, anything that can fly, we try to get that, you know, completely taken down. Also, you know, making sure for the boats outside that the drain plugs were out, because boats can fill up with water, damage the motor. So we try to have that taken care of. So any of those sort of things we try to cover. And, you know, in the hurricanes in the past, we have had some damage, but it's never been – it's been because of something else around the marina that's flown in and hit the boat.
Yeah.
Like a roof. So,
like
yeah,
someone
like
else's boat.
Well, the last time it was a roof that actually hit one. So,
yeah.
You know, those are really, I think, common sense things that people don't think about. Boat US has some great resources. Another thing that – if your boat's at home, you know, and let's say it is an inboard boat or a fishing boat, stuff like that, you can keep the drain plug in it. And if you don't have anything that'll be damaged, you can use it as a place to put water or store water. It also give weight to the boat so it won't fly around. Another thing that I've heard people doing this year, which I thought was interesting, is they fill up their boats, if they keep them at home, with gas, so they'll have extra gas for the car or generator in case they need it.
Wow. That doesn't seem like that would be a great thing to do, though.
What's that?
What, fill your fiberglass boat with gasoline?
Why not?
No. The fuel tank, not the boat.
Oh. the fuel tank. You just keep it there. So it is an extra place, you know, that'll store a good bit of gas for running your generator or whatever you need to.
Okay. During a hurricane. You could do that. I mean, if you just filled it up, I'm picturing the surprise full of gas.
Now, right. And Rusty, when you're talking about filling the boat with water, you're talking about like bottles of water? Or are you talking about putting the drain plug in?
Putting a drain plug in if it's like a, you know, aluminum type boat.
Okay, aluminum and outboard powered, not an inboard where you can get damage to the engine.
Right.
No, just want to make sure that
an extra bathtub.
The other thing you want to make sure of, if you've got a boat at home and it's going to be outside and you don't have the ability to put it in a garage like Barry does, that if it's on a trailer, that you've got the trailer secured. That could be staked to the ground via hurricane straps, wheels chalked. Don't forget to strap the boat to the trailer as well. Because in a high wind, you've got the trailer secured to the ground, but the boat isn't, usually at the stern, because most people don't use stern straps. You get enough wind in the wrong situation, it can lift that boat up off the trailer and flip it right on over. So
here's the question I have, Patrick. Mm-hmm. If you had the drain plug in, and you had the boat on the trailer, and the trailer's sitting on the ground on its wheels, too much weight, isn't that going to blow out your tires?
Well,
or should you put it up on blocks and then strap it down?
I wouldn't put it up on blocks because I wouldn't want to get the trailer any higher up off the ground, and under the wind conditions, it could get blown off those blocks. So I'd leave it on the ground. I'm not a proponent of exceeding the weight limit that the boat's capable of holding. So as far as filling it with water or anything like that, I'm not necessarily... I wouldn't necessarily go that route. I think certainly topping off the fuel tank, the boat's rated for that. The trailer weight would be rated for that. Making sure that the boat is strapped to the trailer, making sure that the trailer is secured to the ground is your best way to go.
Okay. And if you followed that advice, you're probably doing okay right now. If not, maybe you're learning a few things. More coming up on the World of Boating.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, Barry, Rusty. We got pretty much a full crew, even though we started with Bill as well, the engineer, but we threw him overboard, so we didn't need him. We engineered just too much weight. So, you know, we got plenty of ballast with us four guys. Wouldn't you agree, Patrick?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So, by the way, last week during the end of the show, or towards the end of the broadcast, we started talking about what to look for in a boat that was waterlogged, hurricaned. You know,
that and that are one of those,
because those deals are going to pop up.
They are.
And you know, if it sounds too good to be true,
it is.
It could be. It might not be.
No, but it you is. Got,
but
I
you
guarantee you, it
know
is.
Know what to look for, and you mentioned the salt crystals, the green goo.
Barry mentioned the salt crystals, which is, you know, the crystallization of any of the seawater, salt water that may have gotten into the boat.
Right.
The other thing is checking the electrical connections on your 4-pin, 9-pin, 12-pin, and your Deutsch connectors.
Yeah.
Any of your butt connectors, your ground blocks, your bonding system. Any of the electrical connections on the engines, looking for any signs of that green corrosion,
right,
would be an indicator that not only has it been exposed to seawater, but chances are it's had water in that particular compartment, usually the engine room.
Yeah. Yeah. When my butt connectors get green,
you can also check the cushions. Sometimes you start getting mold growing in them.
Yeah. Do you ever get that kind of thing when people are trading in their boats at Jacksonville Marine?
We get mold in them, but it's not from being in a hurricane, I don't think. You know, it's just that we get some really crappy boats occasionally that people try to get rid of. I haven't really looked for those sort of things, which that's something we're definitely going to need to do in the future. Now, I know that some states have a disclosure. Do you know if Florida's one? I don't.
No. And
you don't know, or we are
no,
not?
No, I don't believe we do, because I've had a couple instances that come to mind. One was a person who had bought, at the time we didn't know it was a hurricane-damaged boat, but decided to post signs outside the factory asking for help.
Okay, that would be a giveaway.
Well, I'll tell you more about it when we come back.
On the World of Boating.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Why buy a house when ye can buy a houseboat? Yarr! Don't forget to check out the galley. That's real shag carpeting. Yarr!
Baby, back her down the ramp and don't jackknife her. Let's see how many people we can fit inside. I think we got half of the town invited for some beer on a boat on a Saturday. A few good friends just floating away. The world looks better through a cool pair of shades with some beer on a boat on a Saturday.
This is the World of Boating. Gregor First Mate, Captain Patrick, Rusty, and Barry rounding out the crew. All right, so somebody tried to sell you a boat?
No.
And they went out on the street and said, we'll work for boating?
No, oh. they bought a boat.
Yeah.
And they posted signs outside the factory and call us about our Regal boat. So the owners kind of went into a panic, dissatisfied customer, what happened? So it fell to me to contact them. I drive out to their house and they've got a 30-foot cruiser sitting in their driveway.
Yeah.
And the garage door's open and there are both of the engines stripped down to the block, the drive's off, a hole is punched through the port side hull into the cabin, and talking with the person who had bought this boat, said, oh no, we're not the original owners, we bought it, it was in one of the hurricanes, and we need help with, getting the boat back to shape, so instead of calling the factory and asking for help, we just figured we'd post signs outside of the factory until somebody called us.
Really? So they wanted to guilt you into giving them a new
boat?
Well,
I went there and looked at it. I went in the boat, went in the engine room. The first tip-off was the hard water line that was about level with the intake manifolds of where they would have been on the engines.
Mm.
So, I talked with you. I said, listen, this boat, from here to here, everything's got to be gutted. All the wiring's got to be replaced. This needs to be done. That needs to be done. What'd you pay for this? Oh, we got a deal on it. Well, you didn't get such a great deal because the boat sank.
Yeah.
And it sank in salt water. And anybody who's been in the recovery process with boats, recovering them from salt or fresh, the worst thing you can do is pull the boat out of the water and then let it sit. Unless you're ready to start working on that engine, even to pickle it, leave it in the water until you're ready. Because corrosion doesn't really start until it comes up out and air gets to it.
Yeah.
So
they didn't do that, I assume.
That didn't happen here.
Oh, okay. So what was the result of this store? What happened to this guy?
I have no idea. But it,
you told him to stick it?
Well, no. I just, there's nothing that we can really do for you. We can't do the work for you. We're not willing to. We don't do that. We don't refurbish boats.
Okay.
So
his approach didn't work, evidently.
So gave him some contacts, some people in town that I knew that dealt with Volvo Penta engines, to contact them and see if they could help him out with that stuff. And any parts that they would need would have to be ordered through one of our dealers because we don't sell factory direct to the general public.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
did it look on the outside? Did it look like a brand spanking new
boat? No, it had a hole in the port side hull.
Well, the whole issue, yeah.
So let me ask you this. Do you think that there is a place, though, for the consumer do-it-yourself guy to go out and find a really good deal on a boat and bring it in and fix it himself and come out with a good product that he saved a lot of money on?
Like a pet project, yeah.
No.
You don't think he could do that? You'd have to really know your engine stuff?
You have to know what you're getting into. There's no such thing as a cheap boat. And when you get into the repair aspect of it, again, what seems like a great deal, you start getting deeper and deeper and deeper into it. It's no different than, hey, I found a great deal on this old 1950s bungalow. you know, and you go in there and it's like, oh, I'm going to take down this wall and we're going to open this up. And then you get in there and you find out that, you know, it, you, you got 5,000 wasps in the attic and the floor's rotted and all the plumbing needs to be redone because it's all, you know, lead pipes and stuff like that.
There's a dead body in the wall.
And that too. So
I hate when that happens.
I read one article where it was talking about the, you know, on a 41-foot boat, if the electrical, if you had to replace it, it could cost up to $80,000 to $100,000 to redo all the electrical if you had a regular certified electrician come in, boat electrician come in and do it. And repair costs for a mechanic is going to be $80 to $100 an hour, not including parts. So, I mean, it adds up fast, and storage fees that you're going to have to store it. So, it, you know, it would be... It would be tough, especially on a bigger boat. I think if you had a small boat outboard, you could. But even replacing outboards, pricey. So
it's really expensive, you know. And it's just one of those things you have to go into it with both eyes wide open. You also have to be careful because we're talking about whether or not, you know, people would know that the boat was sunk. Is there any type of notification? We've had instances where boats have gotten damaged in transit, and the boat. Our insurance company comes in and says, okay, well, you know, we're going to total out the boat because, you know, it literally, the straps came off, it fell off the truck, whatever, hit the road. And one time there was a company and they allowed the surveyor who surveyed the boat, his buddy had a company, allowed them to come in and buy it. And they said, oh yeah, well, we're just going to take it. We're going to part it out. So we're going to pull the engines and pull the drives and, you know, get all the electronics off of it. And we're going to sell it. My buddy was like, no, don't let them do it. Don't let them do it. Don't let them do it. His company let them do it anyway. Sure enough, 6 months later, somebody tried to register that boat and claim warranty on it. Because what these guys did was they took the boat. They repaired all the gel cracks in it.
Right.
Never told the person who bought it that it fell off a truck.
Mm-hmm.
And then they paid, you know, $150,000 for this boat. And they're like, hey, I got all these problems with the boat. And the company that my friend worked for is like, nothing we can do. The thing fell off a truck.
Fell off a truck. That's what they said.
You know, Patrick, it's not warrantable. Yes, sir.
Patrick, do they don't have a Carfax type system for boats?
No.
And
Rusty would tell you that.
Yeah, no, it'd be nice. You know, and one of the other things I think you got to keep in mind, even if somebody gives you a boat, and this happens all the time in Florida. They give you the boat. It's, you know, it's too big to have on a trailer, so it's moored somewhere. And if they give that boat to you and, you know, they sign it over to you for free, it's your responsibility. So that boat sinks, you're responsible, and it's not only a criminal offense but a civil offense that FWC can charge you fines. They can put you in jail for it if you don't take care of the boat and, you know, get it out of the water or whatever, if it becomes a derelict vessel. And that happens a lot of places, and they're really, you know, they've been trying to crack down on it for a while, cleaning up derelict vessels in Florida. So, you know, it's just something that you can't just, nothing's free.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you know, I had a deal long time ago. I got a 19-foot Aquasport Osprey center console. Had a 140-horsepower Johnson Evinrude on the back. Engine had a knock. I got this thing, boat, motor, and trailer for $600.
Nice.
Okay. My buddy who owns a Marine Service Center here in Central Florida swapped me out the engines. So he gave me a newer 120 horsepower. Not brand new, but a newer one. Straight out swap, and didn't owe him a dime. Mm-hmm. Mounted it, everything. Thing ran better with the 120 than it did with the 140 because it was a newer generation engine.
Got it.
I went and put a dual battery switch in it, put in a 3D fish finder, mounted a bimini top. All that. Again, boat cost me $600.
Yeah.
And let me just say, I love my brother, okay?
Yeah.
I gave this boat to my brother because my nephews at the time were very small and they liked to go out boating down in Naples.
So you fixed it up and gave it to him?
Gave it to him.
Yeah.
My brother took it, used it for about 3-4 weeks, tied it up behind our dad's house. My dad has a house on Marco Island on the water, tied it up at his dock. Boat got caught underneath the dock, took on some water. Next thing, it's in a storage lot. Was there for about 6 months, never got used again. I wound up going down a year after that, picking it up and bringing it back to Orlando. So even when something is given to you, you know, if you're not prepared to use it, if you're not prepared to take care of it, just don't do it. You know, even sometimes, as Rusty pointed out,
hold on, the free stuff. That sounds like you made out like a bandit. You just gave it away to someone, and then they didn't take care of it. But it sounds like you made out really well.
Well, no, because then I had to repair all the damage from the boat sitting for about 2 years.
Well, yeah, but that was not your fault. That was
So I really didn't make out. Well, that's not the point.
Did you get the boat free to give it away like that?
No, I paid $600 for it.
I know. So you got some.
He put a lot of his own money and time into it, and just for it to sit there and not be used.
And then what it winds up doing, it winds up costing you the storage fees and everything like that. My brother was like, "Look, I don't have time to use it and really appreciate it, but you know, can you come
down
and get it?"
You don't talk to him anymore, do you?
No, I talk to my brother every week.
Okay, just checking.
You know, it was just one of those things. It just wasn't the right time. Didn't work out for him.
Yeah.
And to Rusty's point, especially...
Here is your mistake, though, Patrick. You did that boat. It sounds like a very nice vessel that you put together. Should have gave it to me.
Then it would be sitting in your backyard.
Yeah, but I would take care of it.
It would look good. It would be a $5,000 bird bath.
And I would say I was a boater.
Yeah,
I'd have a boat in my backyard. HOA would love me.
I thought they loved you already.
Yeah, well, they love me, all right. All right, more coming up. Stay close to the World of Boating.
Listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Traffic sucks. Unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Are you physically fit enough to scuba dive? I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share a few ways to know for sure next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
You should check with your physician before starting a new activity and know you're ready for the physical fitness requirements for diving. Here's just one real-world activity test to consider. 1. Walk on land for 100 feet in your scuba gear. 2. Ascend a 5-foot vertical ladder from the water in same gear. And 3. Swim underwater in gear at half a knot for 30 minutes and just over double that for 3 minutes. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm strong to the finish because I eat me spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, Rusty, and Barry rounding out the crew right now. All right, so I'm still a little depressed that I found out Patrick gave away a boat he fixed up to his brother. He put his brother above me. Could have given me that boat. I would have taken care of it.
I thought y'all were like brothers.
Yeah, we are. We're kind of a brother from another mother kind of thing. Something like that, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
By the way, to touch on something that Rusty was talking about, and in light of the recent spate of storms that we've had, no matter where you are in the country, I mean, you have a responsibility with your boat, especially if it's in the water, that as soon as you can reasonably get to your vessel to check on its condition, you need to do so. You know, because if your vessel unfortunately takes on enough water and say it sinks in the slip or it breaks free of its mooring. To Rusty's point, you can be held liable and you will be held financially liable, not only for any damage that that boat may cause because it wasn't secured properly or broke its moorings and you weren't able to check on it in a timely manner, but if it sinks, there's the environmental impact that the Coast Guard or the freshwater game authorities will start charging you by the day. And well, unfortunately, with a lot of that stuff, what winds up happening is there gets to be a fight over the insurance company isn't paying for it, the owner's not paying for it, the marina's not paying for it. Nobody wants to move the boat because then they'll assume liability, so it sits. And as it sits, it leaks oil, it leaks gas or diesel fuel, and just creates a huge mess.
Yes. You know, as a boater, you have a moral obligation to protect the sea as well. Wouldn't you agree?
I do agree.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, not everybody else does.
Well, that may be. But you should. You know, you'd feel bad if you knew you were hurting the environment. And yeah, oil and gas and all that stuff, obviously bad.
You know what? And here's the thing. If you don't have an insurance policy on your boat for whatever reason, have like a towboat or, you know, a boat U.S. Towboat or sea tow, because a lot of those, you know, your boat takes on water and it sinks. They'll come out. They'll be able to float the boat, get it towed to an area where it can then get hauled out of the water. Just check your coverages.
Okay. Absolutely.
And that's a cheap coverage for what?
Yes, it is.
For.
Mm-hmm. What is that going for now, Rusty? About $175 a year?
No, it's actually less than that, like $149.
Yeah, I mean,
$159, not bad at all.
No, mm-hmm. it is. And I know they don't like saying it's like AAA on the water, but it is like AAA on the water.
I don't even have own my own boat, but I still carry it. Just if I'm in a boat or I'm there, I just always keep the policy.
I've got my commercial coverage. So no matter what I'm in, whatever I'm moving, if I have an issue, I'm covered.
Yeah. What about you, Barry? You have that on surprise? You have that on your vessel?
I have a boat U.S., and I've been paying for it for years on the off chance that I hope I never have to use them.
You haven't had to,
exactly.
Yet, right?
So far.
So far, so good.
Yeah, but see, yeah. I mean, it's just not coming out and floating your boat or anything like that. I mean, if you guys had been out lobster diving and the engine suffered a failure, you know, and or I'll go this route. Let's say you went out, it was fairly calm, and then you're coming back in to that inlet, mm-hmm. and it's like, okay, this is just way too rough. We're not going to chance it. Hey, Towboat US, I'm a policy holder. Can you send out a boat to guide me in?
Yeah, if I got Greg at the helm.
No, if they've got a big enough boat, they'll come out, and they can bring you in.
Yeah, they will do that.
Yeah, so I mean, mm-hmm. it's
some, what, tow them in, or what do you mean?
No, raft up and bring you in.
Really, that's how they would do it.
Yeah,
yeah. They'll tie you to their port or starboard side and pull you in.
Hmm. Have you seen people do that before?
I've done it.
You've done that.
Coming into an inlet at night, and it's just okay. This is an unfamiliar inlet. I'm not comfortable. The surf, the outgoing tide, incoming surf is a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to risk my life. B, this $1.5 million yacht.
Yeah.
So, hey, Cito, here's where I'm at. I'm maintaining position. Can you come out and meet me? Bring me in. Yeah, we've got a craft big enough, so on and so forth, and bought me in safely.
Hmm.
All I needed was that call it 3 minutes for them to get me past the break, and I was okay. If it had been daylight, I probably would have done it. But at night and being an unfamiliar inlet, no.
Didn't want to risk it.
No.
Okay. And that's,
Greg, have you been out in a boat, in a small boat at night?
Well, yeah, I think. Pirates of the Caribbean at Disney World count?
Nope.
Oh.
Then I'll take you out one night. It is completely different when it's pitch black out there and all you see are little dots.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that. I don't. I've been out on small boats.
And what's even better is you can't even see the waves until they break.
Yeah, that would be a little unnerving.
You start to see white or green foam. And it's over your head, you got a problem.
Well, yeah, you've sunk, I think. That would be the signal of sinking, wouldn't it?
No. It's just, you're going to take some water. But here's the thing. Those coverages, even at a minimum, to Rusty's point, you know, $140 a year is cheap insurance to help you out in some of these situations.
Mm-hmm. Just good peace of mind.
It really is.
And know it's there if you need it.
Not that I've ever run aground, but let's pretend I have.
Ah!
Then the one time, or the first time that I actually caught them, it would have been $800 for them to come get me. Which, you know, if you look at it that way, that covered my membership for the next, like, 6-7 years. So,
oh, yeah.
Can't beat it.
So you're way ahead of the game. That's just that's the first time you ran aground, right?
That's right.
Yeah. When you call them, the meter starts running when they leave the dock.
Yeah. So, and that can add up. So get your membership. You'll be good to go. All right. And that'll wrap it up for this week's edition of The Big Show. Remember, whether it's sail or motor,
life is better as a boater.
Safe boating, everyone.
Rock the boat. Don't tip the boat.
Barnacle-bitten swab!
World of Boating is brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
World of Boating is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Computer standing by.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at worldofboating.com.
Computers can do that?
So tell a friend and come aboard every week for the World of Boating.
This is so great. I can't wait. I'm getting goosebumps. Feel me.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.
The opinions you just heard on the World of Boating are those of the hosts, callers, and guests. They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
What are you being such a weenie for?
While on the water, your safety and the safety of many others depends on you. So boat smart and operate your vessel only after receiving the proper training and instruction for your area.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at worldofboating.com.